It is, in some ways, a multifaceted problem. As you're describing it, Regina, we have people who have some very, very different perspectives on life, which brings with it some different perspectives on sexuality. And, of course, we know that people have free will. And so there's just going to be various reasons as to why some males, some females, many males, many females, would turn to homosexuality or even bisexuality for that matter. But what makes it so complicated and sometimes pretty baffling is when we have people saying, I don't want this lifestyle. I feel trapped in this lifestyle, and I really want someone to help me get free from this lifestyle. And then you have people saying, we don't want you to have anywhere to turn when you say you want help. If a person has cancer, we don't have any problem with them having some place to turn for help. If a person has diabetes, we have no problem with them having some place to turn for help. Very often, if there are some issues in the marriage, you don't have people who are opposed to that couple turning somewhere for help. If somebody's having some problems with schizophrenia and they want help, we don't have any problems with them turning to someone for help. But for whatever the reason, when it comes to anything that has to do with homosexuality, bisexuality, transgender, same-sex attraction, etc., there are many, many people all across the country who are opposed to people seeking help when they say, I don't want this. Your son came to you. Well, when he began talking with you, it wasn't because he was seeking help. You mentioned that in his case, in your case, your family's case, your plural, you and your husband discovered some telltale signs that your son was involved, or you were thinking at least may have been involved with homosexual activity. But when you first approached him about it, you said he denied it.
That's correct.
So how did you all, how were you able to bring him to the point where he finally admitted it?
We had a very long, interesting evening in conversation, which was tearful, which was angry, which was still not totally admitting, because I think he was struggling. He knew the difference between what was, we were a Christian family, and as I said, my husband and I both served on the board of directors, so he knew we were not going to approve, but he had been labeled, and he had been harassed in school. Great kid, great student, you know, got the high school special governor's diploma, et cetera, et cetera. Didn't drink, didn't smoke. So you have somebody who's, you know, feeling different, because we tend to do that to a lot of scholarly students, I might add. And so for him to admit that he was dabbling, and some of his friends were, I would have said, bisexual in college, and you knew if they went to a club for college kids, I mean, some of them were very open about not just homosexuality, heterosexuality, but there were, both were accepted. So you could go dance with the guys, or a girl could dance with the girls and whatever at these various clubs. And it was known in the school what they were, where they were. We just sort of remembered them saying that, him saying he was going somewhere with a friend, and we knew that that was one of those clubs where anything goes. So it took time. I mean, we did go to a Christian counselor, because I didn't want, you know, anger, family to break up, have him move out or feel like he couldn't be who he was, whatever that means. And therefore, it was important that the family come together, because we loved each other, and that we learned to function together as a family. We didn't have to approve of anything, but we had to learn to work through and function based on what we believed was taking place in our life and in his life.
Regina, and you get a chance to talk with other families, too, who have similar situations. Do you find that sometimes the parents may see, even if unintentionally, their child as being alien, foreign, when they first discover that the child is engaging in homosexual activity? Or does it get to a point where the child may not be who they thought, but it never gets quite that far that they see their child as being alien?
I think what I hear primarily from clients, and now things have changed, you know, in the last few years because it has become so accepting. I mean, you know, we had the Rainbow House the day the Supreme Court ruled that same-sex marriage was legal, based not on the Constitution, I might add. But at any rate, so they lit up the entire White House because they knew in advance things were going on behind closed doors and telephone lines, that our entire White House was all for rainbow colors. I mean, your tax dollars got to pay for all of that. And so we have moved from an era of where, even with Christian children, what is going on in the school and what in some churches is being accepted, I might add, and some pretty big mainline churches. So it has created a situation for parents, like I've had two of them this week already, where child comes home because, you know, school's out until third week in January, so they're home for the holidays. And then they decide as soon as Christmas is over, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, I need to let you know that I'm gay or bisexual or transgender. And so parents aren't around enough, or are they getting enough forewarning to start looking for resources? The ones that I've talked to this week, had emails from, were just hit in the face. You know, here's my child that's been, you know, homeschooled or been in Christian schools, just went off sophomore in college. One parent, a daughter coming home, who had started getting hormones out of the University of Oregon because you can get them there, because she thought she was transgendered, and they had no idea what their daughter was going to arrive the Christmas week looking like or sounding like. So parents are taking a much bigger hit, perhaps, would be one way to put it, than I did. And the resources are not out there. They're not available. So they are searching the Internet, and they are finding us. And we have testimonies from men and women all over our website doing Q&A, sharing their life story. And that offers them some solace. And then we do have some support groups that we help them try and find a support group, or even start one within their own church group to deal with these. We have a program that we've developed called Safe Exit. And what that is getting the church to provide resources, which we supply them with, for families, for strugglers, or how about ex-gays? I mean, you have ex-gays sitting in your churches that don't feel that they can share or provide hope or help because people judge them. Oh, well, did they really change? Because they're hearing this, according to the gay community, you can't. Or will they backslide? Or how do I know they really changed? And so the churches need to take a much more proactive position by providing these resources. It doesn't do me any good to be able to speak, to put these people on a website, to send them to speak in churches, mail them information, if they're not providing it to the people sitting in those pews.
And the people who really need it. And I'm thinking about the fact that it can make such a huge difference if the person who comes out is embraced by family. Like you said before, we can't justify approving of a lifestyle that God disapproves of, but we know that God loves the homosexual just as much as he loves the heterosexual. Well, that concludes, everyone, our first ever Motivational Roundup. If you would like to hear any of these conversations in their entirety, just go to speakingwith.com and click on the link labeled Listen Online at your convenience. Feel free to listen to my conversation with Sharkey Zartman by going to October 26, 2018. You can hear Mark Pilkington by going to March 8,
2019, Darlene Lancer, November 9, 2018, and Regina Griggs, January 29, 2016. Also, feel free to just type their names into the search bar and bring it right up. Glad you were with me for this unique Power Friday.